A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of that galaxy and direct, straight right here in the center of ours, this is Four Center Presents Other Center. I'm Katnapsa.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and sadly, right after this, Jennifer Landa won't be saying I'm Jennifer Landa. Well, maybe she is somewhere. Maybe she's in her home saying I'm Jennifer Landa out loud. But sadly, Jennifer isn't here with us for this episode of Cues of the Other.
That's right. She had to take care of life after we had a wonderful long discussion about growing up in the 80s. Check out that episode. That was number 599 overall of the Four Center main show. The Other Center main show as it is right now. And this is episode 600. That's a big number of the main show around these parts. And we want to thank you all for making this possible by listening, supporting, telling your friends, being part of this community. And also, maybe checking out our sponsors. Hey, there's a transition like a radio man from old. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Check that out a little bit later. Actually, right now, let's do a recommendation. Joseph, do you have a book you want to recommend?
I did not pick one out. Do you have one ready?
I'm going to get one right now. This has been a fun little side adventure journey for all of us here, where we always scramble to find a little bit, but I got one. One of my favorite authors, I haven't read him as much in the last few years, but he's great. His name is Mike Gale, a UK-based novelist, and he's got a great book out there called Turning 40, which is really in my rearview mirror. It's a great book. Check it out by going to Audible and getting Mike Gale's Turning 40 on us. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/4center. audibletrial.com/4center again for your free audiobook. All right, Joseph, we got some cues of the other indeed here. Oh, well, first we're going to do an ask. Also, by the way, you know, I was a little confused. I had the wrong script up.
Well, these things happen to us, don't they? Were you on episode 599, not episode 600?
I was. Now we're back. I'm going to close in the 80s. Close out that tab. Now we're here. Joseph, we have an ask. And as I said last week, last episode, you are the keeper of the ask.
That's right. Keeper of the ask. Yes, well, we are going back to Patreon. We are asking about Patreon. People have been very, very generous, very kind in their support of us all through the years on Patreon. It is our greatest source of keeping this podcast going. But people have been particularly kind to sort of answer the call to keep us rolling during this other center era. We had reached a goal a little while back. And the thing we were doing for the goal was a live stream for patrons where we discussed our favorite desserts. We had the wonderful epiphany that Ken, myself, and Jennifer all had a favorite dessert located at The Grove, a beautiful outdoor shopping mall and farmer's market here in Los Angeles. So then I was like, hey, we need a new goal. What if the goal was we reach amount of money and we take a field trip to The Grove and we eat three different desserts in one day? And Ken and Jennifer are like, yeah, so that's where we are. We are not too terribly far from this goal, but if we reach $2,300 a month on Patreon, we're going to take that field trip. We'll do some video documentation like the kids do these days. And by kids these days, I mean 38-year-old. We will take some video and then we'll do a podcast episode discussing our dessert adventure.
I can't wait. Make my dream a reality. Going back to one of my little stomping grounds to eat a donut. Come on, kids. Come on, make it happen.
I've been wanting that cherry pie at Dupars for a long time. You put it into the hands of our listeners and fate whether or not I get pie. So if you're interested, if you want to take a look, you can check out patreon.com/4center. I do really think one of the greatest parts of the Patreon is access to the Discord, where you know, a group of people are able to continue to talk about the galaxy far, far away, talk about the topics that we've been bringing up on Other Center, and it's just a great community of people who can have fun and friendly conversations. So I think that's a big selling point to the old Patreon.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So there, you have asked and answered, Joseph. That's great.
Yeah, now we get to do some asking and answering, and the asks come from our wonderful listeners. We are collecting questions on our Patreon for questions of the other. We've got a lot that we're still getting to, but if you want to add some, you can scroll down and find the picture of Ken looking at fish and chips in the UK and ask your question there. Fittingly, our first question is about food. This comes to us from Obi-Wan Jacoby, who asks, what is your favorite cheese? I know my answer is pretty basic, but I think you can't go wrong with a good cheddar, says Obi-Wan. Ken, a little spoiler for later in the show. Our question on the back half is about the nature of life itself. I spent more time preparing my cheese answer than the one about nature of life, and I suspect you did too.
Same. I got that one figured out. The cheese one, I need to get the right answer here.
Yeah, so you, what would you say is your relationship with cheese? Is this an early love that has sustained through life, or did you discover cheese at some point?
Oh, no, it's a bad relationship because I just can't leave it and I need to. I'm trying to get out of it. I did switch to a mostly vegan diet a couple years ago, and I've slipped a lot, but I'm still there for it. Still enjoying
cheese slipping, huh?
And that's the thing. Like giving up meat of any kind, but particularly red meat, actually pretty easy. Yes, occasionally this and that. Yeah, love that. But like I got a little depressed last week. I had a little bit of bad news hit and I did a panic run to the grocery store and I bought some hamburgers, which I haven't made for myself for a while. Right. And I made them. It was great. And man, I felt so bad. I felt so like physically, like emotionally, yes, but physically just no. Once you kind of purge the meat, it's kind of easier to keep that going. But the cheese, and there's decent vegan cheese substitutes, but it's just that, it's a substitute. The meat yeah. substitutes are better than the cheese ones. So I do love cheese. Who doesn't? It's so hard unless you can't have it. So I have some choices, but I want to get your overall thoughts on cheese.
Yeah, I mean, I think there aren't a lot of I have sort of been bemoaning a lack of culture in my upbringing. But one thing I think the Midwest and generally Scandinavian roots did give me is a strong and hearty love of cheese. It was yes. just like out of the gate, you know, I love macaroni and cheese. That was my favorite thing. And it burned into my memory when I was quite young. My dad like came home from work to have lunch and I was just eating like a big pile of cheese. And I think he was just trying to joke around with me. He was like, hey, maybe other things to eat other than cheese. And I just that day seen a thing on Sesame Street about like how good dairy is for you. Just tore into him like Sesame Street says cheese is great and I'm never going to stop eating cheese. Like, that's my origin story for eating cheese and perhaps for life. Sesame Street told me it was okay to eat cheese and I'm never going to stop. It remains one of my favorite foods.
Uh-huh. Yes, it does for me and you and all.
Yep. Yep. So how long is your list? We talking 5, 6, 10? How many cheeses?
No, in terms of favorites, it's actually short. And I start right where Obi-Wan Jacoby starts as well. Cheddar. Just a good, and I like a mild cheddar, maybe a sharp, but cheddar is great. Also, I have a little bit of a sinus issue that's plagued me for a few years now. And I was talking to my acupuncturist and she was like, well, avoid cheese. And I'm like, yeah, I'll try. And she goes, but cheese is okay as long as it's not cheddar. I was like, well,
what?
There's the problem. Just well, cheddar has the ability to clog sinuses a little better than the other cheeses.
Okay. Well
yeah.
But, too bad. I'm right there with you. I'm more sharp cheddar. Mm-hmm. I like sharp cheddar, but cheddar is just like it's the T-Rex of cheese. It's solid.
It's solid. I used to love getting a block of cheddar. And then just sitting, you know, at the counter in the kitchen and just slicing off pieces and eating it, right? Like, who hasn't experienced that joy? I miss that. That's the thing I miss.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am trying to be mindful of my diet. And one of the main ways I'm doing it is like, maybe don't just have 5 slices or hunks of cheese for lunch.
Maybe
that could change a little bit. So cheddar is a great one. What do you, I feel like doing some gross Howard Stern bit. What do you like doing to cheddar? Do you melt it? What do you put it on?
Yeah. Cheddar is great, for burgers, that kind of thing. Obviously it's, I'm a big fan of making quesadillas or tacos at home. Ooh. Cheddar's the winner for that.
Yeah,
there's other things, and I got some other choices we'll get to, but that's kind of where I go to for that. And then just, you know, again, eating it straight from the block, and no other cheese do I enjoy doing that. Like I don't slice off American, maybe smoked Gouda. Gouda's on my list as well, but cheddar's the only one that historically I have said I'm just going to eat straight from the block.
You don't do like slices of Swiss or Colby or kind of your Mm-mm. other expected cheeses.
Mm-mm. Nope. Don't like Swiss. Well, I can take it. I very rarely turn down a cheese. But no, I'll try to avoid Swiss.
Colby isn't my favorite and I go back and forth. I have Swiss phases. But it's not a huge one for me. So I'm with you for cheddar. Mm-hmm. You also said the magic word, which is smoked. I love Gouda, you know, for a while my social group had all these movie parties and different people would bring different things, and the friends who were in charge of the cheese plate was like, where is all the smoked Gouda going? Why is it gone after the first film? And I was like, it's me. So then for years they'd be like, we got your smoked Gouda. But so my wife, you know, we get blocks of cheese, we get shredded cheese for, you know, pasta and wraps. There's always shredded mozzarella to be sprinkled on things. There's often shredded cheddar. But then she gets what we call treat cheese, which is just, a small fancier thing to be sliced, and you just have a slice before dinner. That's the home of smoked for me. If I go to a restaurant and like smoked cheddar is one of the options on a burger, I'm getting that. But at home, this smoked cheddar, smoked Gouda, smoked mozzarella. Oh, the smoking is amazing.
You gotta smoke it, kids. Right. God, treat cheese. That's God bless Sarah. That's great. Smoked Gouda. I love the flavor of smoked Gouda. And it's a good, anything that I'm going to put cheddar on. I don't know if I'll do quesadillas or something, but I might mix it in. Like it's not maybe, but like if I'm going to add like smoked Gouda for me, I need bacon with it. Like it's a bacon burger. I'll put some smoked Gouda. It just classes it up. It just adds some class to what's going on the plate.
Fair enough. Okay. So we got cheddar. We got smoked of all varieties with a particular nod to Gouda. What else is on your list?
So pepper jack. Pepper jack is pretty specific for me. I will, if I go to a sandwich shop, sometimes I do go to the chain one that is based on an underground mode of transportation. I will always get the pepper jack, and I don't do it elsewhere. Take it back. If I'm making a quesadilla, a cheddar and pepper jack mix is great for me too. Or four cheese. Oh God, there's so many options, right? But there's just something about it. I do love spicy. Can't always handle spicy. Not emotionally and spiritually, but physically. But there's something about that kick in a sandwich. It just it heightens the tension in the sandwich.
Yeah, it just makes you feel alive.
Yes, it does.
Well, pepper jack does, in my experience, range from this is the mildest bit of spice to, the cheese is attacking you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You never know when it's just going to hit you.
Yeah. Yeah. So pepper jack is a great choice. I'm very curious to see if you're with me on this or you're against me when it comes to cheese. I love goat cheese, particularly on pizza or a burger. And I know that pizza already has cheese on it, so getting one of the other toppings to just be a glob of goat cheese, another kind of cheese, is maybe indulgent, but I love it.
I'm not against you. I would follow you on that, but I don't seek it out.
Seek it out. If you encounter it, you're like, fair enough. I don't need to skip this because there's goat cheese on it, but you're not like ordering it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not quite like I consider it an abomination. Like cheese shouldn't come from a goat. Like, I don't know. It's not that. I think as a kid, it was like, that's not right. But, I go for the other ones first, but if I'm at your house and you're like, Ken, we made a goat cheese pizza, I'm taking a bite.
Okay. I don't think we've ever done this because it's not the 1990s. We're not playing Goldeneye every night. But we've never ordered a pizza together, which used to be just like one of the rites of passage of friendships. So you learn. If I suggested, if we were ordering a pizza and I was trying to put goat cheese on it, would you be like that? We only have three toppings and you'd be like veto on the goat cheese?
No. I give it a go. I'm so wide open with my pizzas. And, I'm a big believer in pineapple on pizza, which causes people to have violent, angry reactions towards me. But, I've lived with that. I live with that shame of pineapple and pizza love, but I'm there for that. Let's do it.
I'd goat cheese and pineapple. Why not?
Yeah. Sure. It's pizza. Yeah.
It's really on my mind because I had a burger where goat cheese is one of the options. They must have been like needing to clear out of their goat cheese because they put so much goat cheese on that burger that it was trying to slide out of the bun and it was heaven.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah.
All right. So what else you got?
I'll switch to American. I do like American. If, like that goes good on like a chicken sandwich. If I'm making like a chicken burgers, our listener, our friend Jonas Bergen would say like, why don't you call chicken sandwiches, chicken burgers in America? But yeah, if I'm doing that, that works for me, like a spicy chicken sandwich. An American goes well with that, but it's no longer used. American cheese used to be higher on my list. But the pepper jack bumped it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have nothing against American cheese, but I also do not seek it out. It's not necessarily going to be the one I pick when you got the cheese options.
There's something about it that is, I don't know. It's a weirder taste. It's a different taste. It's more of a boring taste.
Solid. Solid. Mm-hmm. Another treat cheese that Sarah picks up sometimes is the Sage Darby. It's a great little cheese, but it has all these different herbs mixed into it, like sage, but also spinach. So it's not only does it taste delicious, but it looks like a cheap alien from a 1950s film because it's just got these green pulsing veins of you don't know what, but it's delicious.
That's beautiful.
I could go on and on, but I'm gonna wrap up here with one other cheese question for you. A kind of cheese is specifically a Wisconsin cheese curds that one of their defining features is that when they are fresh and you eat them, they squeak. Have you had Wisconsin cheese curds and do you like them?
I know. Let's go do a Four Center, Other Center live in Wisconsin so I can do this. No.
A whole field trip for cheese curds.
Okay. Love that.
Yeah. I'm going to eat so much cheese for lunch. I don't even care. I'm a cheese sandwich with cheese on cheese.
Yeah.
This question's broken me.
I mean, a grilled cheese sandwich. Oh, yeah.
Right. With like four cheeses. Like, yeah. I mean, just one cheese, you're fine. But the different cheeses speaking to one another.
No, I'll put a tomato in there. Fresh tomato.
Oh, yeah. Oh, forget about it. Great. Have a grilled cheese sandwich with deep fried cheese sticks in the sandwich.
We should have had lunch before we recorded this episode, but
yep,
we're good.
Yep. Great question. Thank you very much. We are going to move on from cheese as hard as it is to do onto something else, something a little different from Justin Jacobson. Justin asks, I'm wondering something that could maybe be life ranked fodder. We're going to tackle it here. What are your top three favorite holidays and why? I've given this one lots of thought over the years, but I'm very curious if you have favorites, if this is the kind of thing you think about, Ken, or did you have to go wait, what are they?
I was like, you know, this is a top three and, you know, Justin suggesting a life rank, which was at least a top five. And I was like, I don't know if I got five. I don't. And then I'm trying not to be snarky or, you know, dodging the question here of like, well, the Major League Baseball opening day or the Super Bowl, which I don't pay attention to as much anymore. But those, like MLB opening day was like a holiday. It was like I had it on the calendar circled. Going to get special cheeses for desserts that night or treats. You know, like it was a big thing. I just don't watch baseball as much anymore, but it's a fun day. So I had to like push past that and I guess it's kind of boring. It's kind of the majors, you know? But I also for 17 years did not have those holidays. Working on them. Like my favorite holiday is the week after Black Friday. Like that's when I can finally, my answers are pretty boring. Like I guess Thanksgiving and Christmas, I got some more to say on that, but that's kind of where I go to.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, I think it's not just the what for the holidays.
Correct. That
it's more the why. Yeah, because we could be fun and snarky and say Arbor Day, you know, and all that. Yeah. Different cultures, we might have different options if we're part of, you know, different cultures or all that. But the general American ones, there are only so many. Maybe some overlap on our list. But why don't you pick one and let's get into the why, because I think that's what's really interesting.
Yeah. So I go to Thanksgiving first and I, you know, we'll do an acknowledgement, but there's some of these holidays come to us and the histories of them are complicated or not what they are and all those things. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm really enjoying digging into the truths of situations, which doesn't mean I write off the holiday with a complicated past, because I think there's a spirit behind the holiday that I enjoy and I connect with. And that's Thanksgiving for me. It was a big family holiday for us, where we would go up to my great aunt and uncle's house up in Green Valley Lake, which is in San Bernardino Mountains, and beetle snow. And, you know, as a kid from Orange County, or a little bit later when we moved to the beach, not living with a lot of snow. So we go up there and it just, the vibes behind it were good, in the sense of we're gathering around, we're making food, and, you know, Uncle Fern's going to do this and his favorite recipe. And then we gather around and tell stories and go walking, and other family members would come in and out. And So that's what I remember, and that's what I hold on to. And that was lost. And eventually, you move on, and my great uncle eventually passed away. My great aunt still living, like 95, I think now. But they had to move down from the hill because they couldn't really live up there anymore. And so it's like that kind of stuff went away. But when I think of when someone says Thanksgiving, that's what I go to. It's also like my turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes might be one of my favorite meals, right? So it's like I'm there for that. So if you just want to talk more about food, I'm there for the food. That and Christmas wasn't ever really that. Even as a kid, we'd have the Christmas things and we'd have a Christmas morning and all the kind of traditional stuff. But even before I got a job where I spent Christmas alone or going to my grandparents in Anaheim alone, like my favorite Christmas was like 2010. I think I got Carl's Jr. and I played Red Dead Redemption 1 and no one talked to me and I didn't leave the house. Like, that was my favorite Christmas. That had a lot to do with my job and just where I was at the time of my life. But yeah, that's why I go to Thanksgiving, just that period of time. And then I have just the warm memories of being a little kid and waking up at 5 a.m, which was, oh my God, did you know there's a 5 a.m. kind of hack joke. And I'd go up and my great uncle would have the fire going and he's already starting to cook for the Thanksgiving dinner that night. And I just, that's what I go to.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Now that you don't work retail, mm-hmm. and you can kind of, I would imagine, make Thanksgiving a little bit what you want it to be. What is your Thanksgiving like with Grace?
It's nothing. I mean, yeah, we don't. I'm going to be really outed as antisocial grump here. I don't love a lot of the holiday things anymore. So, like, we'll be at home. We might get some Thai food. She, you know, we'll make her sister makes some good vegan turkey kind of things. Like it's, you feel like you're having a Thanksgiving meal because they're both vegan. So it's like, we've done that. But I think other than that, it's a chance for us to just intentionally be alone at home, quiet, watching a movie or a ghost show. And then Christmas, even less so. And my mother, people always laugh at this. My mother, she can be a little overdramatic, as can I. That's why I'm a podcaster. Maybe 7 years ago called me one day. And I think I was still working at the malls, but I would be able to get up for Christmas if I could, just like a day or two. She goes, "So I've canceled Christmas." I'm like, "Whoa, wait, what do you mean, Mom?" She goes, "I've just decided we're good." She's like, "I don't want anyone to come up here. You don't need to worry about it. I'll send you some money. We're good." And that was it. We haven't celebrated Christmas beyond a phone call since then. So that translates to me. This year I'll be traveling. I'll be doing stand-up in Seattle. We got Christmas shows. I think I'll be flying back home on Christmas. And Ellis,
you'll be trying to, yeah,
we'll try, see. Trying to might rent a car and drive back down from Seattle. And Ellis was like, "You okay with this?" I was like, "Yeah, I don't celebrate Christmas. Yeah, we're good. Let's do some comedy."
That is great. Yeah. No, that makes total sense. And holidays have shifted and changed, obviously, over the years from what they were for me as a kid. They shift a lot when Sarah and I are in LA and when we first got here, it was just kind of a financial thing. We really couldn't afford to go back. So Thanksgiving and Christmas did just become days off with nice food. Amazing.
And I should note, too, you and I both do not have kids. So I'm absolutely positive that would change, right? If you want to give your kid a different kind of experience of holidays. I understand that.
This would be a very different episode if Jennifer were able to join us for this one.
Yes.
Yeah. So that makes total sense that you would make that attachment to Thanksgiving because of all those positive family associations. For me, Thanksgiving was always, I have referred to it in stand-up as practice Christmas, where I did not like turkey. And I think my dad has become good at cooking it, but he wasn't back in the day. So it's like, would you like a day where all of the adults are vaguely stressed and you eat something really dry and there are no presents? Sure. So I never had a super strong association with it, but it sounds like you had the ideal version of extended family coming together.
Yes.
Where special events, treats to, emotional treats. Get to go somewhere magical. Yeah. For me, I think perhaps no surprise to people who have listened to the podcast for a while, number one favorite holiday by far is Halloween. I've also done stand-up bits and, about this of like, obviously all holidays have deep roots that can be complicated, that can be tied to specific beliefs, or in the case of things like Thanksgiving, really upsetting histories. Halloween is, and then they have their modern, you know, connotations and their secular versions and then how, yeah, how they evolve over the years. So they're all complicated. But for me, Halloween is, it is about fun. It is about, there's no, I have said this as a joke and there's truth to it. A lot of holidays have a level of, in my opinion, guilt or finger wagging attached to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even a really good Thanksgiving, like, you know, you should be thankful, which is a great idea, but it's a, you should with the finger wagging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, anyway, I don't need to go on and on. There's no guilt attached to it. It's just fun. It's just put on a mask and get candy. Even if you're a kid, there's no, you should, it's actually, you get to do something that you would like to do, dress up like a weirdo and eat candy. And as you get older, or at least as I get older and delve into the history of horror and ideas about, you know, spirits and all these things, it's about the possibility. It's about, horror has been a home for lots of people who feel othered. So Halloween is like, let's have fun. This one's for the kids and the weirdos.
Yeah.
You know? So I absolutely adore Halloween. It's just by far my favorite holiday.
Yeah, it's Grace's too. And it's not mine. So
we have. You did not have good experiences though, right? You were.
Not. Yes, it was. I
you
did
had
not.
Some negative religious issues, right?
And I'll say this. I don't begrudge it at all. I had a great time, but I like how you're describing Halloween, as you often do. You're finding the themes in it and the personal themes in it. And I think you're really right. And I think Grace would agree with you on a lot of the reasons the other getting to chance to be more themselves is through a lot of these horror films and the genre and the holiday. I think that's really right. But I wasn't raised. We went to every year at our church, had a hallelujah hoedown, and we all dressed up in Western gear, which had its own weird implications. And then we'd go on the parking lot to have a safe and secure society, a safe and secure Halloween, which I get. And you and I and Jen just talked about some of the realities of the paranoia of razor blades and apples and some of the truths about the razor blades and apples. So I don't totally begrudge it, but because of that, did not have the holiday, did not view it positively. So whether I later on found that out to be true or not, doesn't matter. I just didn't grow up with it. I do not love dressing up. It annoys the hell out of me. So, and not that if you, Joseph, showed up at my house dressed up, I wouldn't be annoyed with you. But for me, I just, when someone's like, it's a mandatory costume party, I'm like, then I'm not coming. Like, we're not there that night. Grace doesn't like to dress up either. She just likes the season. And the holiday. But anyway, but it's not, I say none of that to take away your joy or anyone's joy for the holiday. Cause also I love candy and hottest take of all, Joseph, I love candy corn.
Oh yeah. No, I love candy corn too. It's deeply, deeply unnatural and weird.
Yes. Yes.
What are your candy corn thoughts?
All of it. I've even had the turkey flavor one, the turkey dinner flavor candy corn.
Oh yeah.
Which is an abomination straight to us from hell. Sorry. I'm so hungry. I'm thinking, can't get my words out, but no, I've had like friendships be affected by my love of candy corn.
Yeah. Like I never get it when people try to point out that it's not good. It's like, yeah, no, I never thought it was good. It's unnatural and disgusting and in a beautiful way. This is,
I mean, I love
it's like somebody trying to make an argument of like, yeah, well, that martini's not very good for you. Like, that's not why I'm drinking it.
You know? I love Peeps as well. I love all the weird candies.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm with you on, I loved dressing up when I was younger. And then, you know, between weather and fear, I largely had that taken from me. but then I love a costume for theatrical stuff.
Right.
You know, early in my sketch comedy career, I joked with my compatriots that you could walk into like a theatrical type costume store and just like pick out weird hat and weird glasses and then find what's the character that would have that weird hat and glasses, you know? Mm-hmm. Getting to play a business person or a superhero, or I did children's theater and I've been a pig. I've been a troll, you know, I've been all sorts of animals, squirrels, you know, yep. The squirrels. I've dressed up but anyway, point being, costumes for me became, if I'm wearing a costume, I'm being the character, and that's some of the joy. Mm-hmm. So then when people started to have like adult costume parties and my friend would be like, well, I'm dressed as Mario, but I'm just standing around talking, like, it was weird to me. Like, well, be Mario then. So I feel weird because I feel like I'm backstage. Like, uh-huh. If I'm at a Halloween party and I'm dressed mm-hmm. as a squirrel, I'm just feel like, this feels weird to just stand around and not acknowledge that I'm dressed up as a squirrel. So I don't personally... I've dressed up a couple times. I did, like, 2017, we went to a bunch of Halloween parties and I dressed up and that was fun because mm-hmm. I really embraced it because I wanted to. But I'm more, I enjoy seeing other people dressed up and seeing how much they love it than dressing up myself.
Yeah. See, yes. You and I both know a lot of professional cosplayers and it never stops being impressive to me, but I also never want to do it. Right. And so over the years, regular, not kind of cosplayers, but regular Halloween costumes at parties, sometimes a large percentage of them cause the same reaction in me that puns and wordplay cause.
Mm.
Where I'm just like, there's always the seasonal, you know, there's always the yearly pop culture meme costumes. And mm-hmm. like, I just remember the year everyone dressed like Lieutenant Dangle from Reno 911. And I love Thomas Lennon and I love Reno 911. But I just, every time I saw it, I was just like, dear God, just you and 700 other people in this town are dressed up like that. And it's a negative way to approach it. That's dangerously close to squashing joy for other people. But I'm trying to be honest. That's the reaction where I'm just like, yeah, your pun. Great. You made a pun. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't like yeah. There can be a sort of a who came up with the most clever costume.
Yes.
I love it when I see somebody just in a weird thing, you love that. And you know, you're our age and you don't care that no one remembers Electra Woman and Dinah Girl. And yet you dressed up as one of them. Wonderful. You know, I love that stuff. You know?
Yeah.
And some of the clever ones are truly like, that's great and clever, but yeah, some totally. Of the like, I think I see maybe some parties sometimes where it feels almost like a competition like that. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's fun, not competition. Fun.
I'm joking. I know I sound super, super negative, so I don't want to remain in that, but it's, yeah, this is why I don't react to Halloween, but give me a bowl of candy and I'm happy.
Yep. I need some spooky decorations and I'm good. Mm-hmm. So we got Halloween, we got Thanksgiving. There are only a handful of holidays left. So what's your second?
I'll go to the Christmas season. There's something that I love. That's a great joke. Thanksgiving being the warm up for Christmas. I love colder weather. I don't live in the snow. Maybe thank God. But, so I do love colder weather. I do love gray skies, and growing up, Christmas at the beach is that's about as close as we get to a winter. And I love pine trees, though. I live under a nearly 100-year-old pine tree right now. And it's not my favorite thing. Change my view on it. Needles everywhere all the time. But I love that. And what I would do, like, I would get my G.I. Joe figures out every year when my mom and dad put the Christmas tree up. And every year I had an ongoing mission that the G.I. Joes had a secret base inside this tree in like Times Square. And Cobra would try to attack it. And so every year I got to continue the story. You know, it just was like, oh, the tree's out. I can go back to the base. So there's a lot of warm memories like that. Yeah, gifts are great. My folks did the best they could and made sure that my sister and I felt like we had a Christmas, but we were a lower middle class family at times. So that wasn't, you know, it wasn't like my friend Britton who got like the aircraft carrier and Optimus Prime and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So in the spirit of it, I was for a number of years, my folks, during December at some point we'd go out a couple days and, you know, give, you know, food or gifts to underprivileged families or whatever, probably through our church or a charitable organization. And a couple times I had to, I was brought, To like food lines and centers like that. And so that was impressed upon me as well. And as hard as I can be on my parents and have been even on this show, that was something that I think was a good thing, you know?
Oh yeah.
And that was part of the season.
Yeah, no, that's a very good actual reason for the season of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know, being there for people who need help.
That's yeah.
Pretty damn good. I will throw up there, I would say, in particular, Christmas Eve of the entire general December holiday season.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting specification. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, so part of it is tradition. You know, my family didn't have a ton of traditions, but and this was one that was handed down from the old ways, is we got one present on Christmas morning, and then there's just kind of a day. Christmas Eve, we would go to grandma's and we would have a big special meal that rotated a lot what was in it. It could be turkey, could be ham. A couple times it was, you know, a weird upsetting Scandinavian fish. It became meatballs for a long time.
I want to go to that Christmas. What is a Scandinavian fish?
Lutefisk in particular an infamous fish that was selected out of availability, not out of desire. And it's a sort of a rite of passage.
Got it.
It's yeah, you know. Imagine eating flavorless, totally clear jello that smells like a fish.
You know, I don't know.
And being a child, yeah, and it's you gotta anyway, there's chemicals involved somehow, even though it's from anyway, it's a whole thing. But so we'd have the special meal, we would open the vast majority of presents, and then, you know, in quotes, Santa would leave one Christmas morning. But that was the big night, and there were times, you know, I would have my toys, and even when there was a lot of tension in the family, it would kind of drift away and it would calm down as it got, you know, later and the lights were on. And I had a rough time with Christmas and Christmas Eve in particular for a while there. And it was, Sarah and I were just so ridiculously busy. I was doing shows on the holidays and I was renting a theater. So we were responsible for the entire building, and Sarah was working the box office and her job. And we had traditions with friends and we had two families, but this part of the family didn't get to it. So we got to the point where, like, within 2 days we had like four or five events to go to, and there was nothing approaching relaxing about it. It was good to see family, it was good to see friends, but it was like, oh my God, I just need a breath. And one Christmas I got food poisoning, and Christmas morning and Christmas day, Sarah went to like three events, and you know, I watched Die Hard 2 and drank Canada Dry, and it was like, uh-oh, this is the best Christmas in many years. There's a problem.
Yeah.
A problem that needs to be addressed. So I talked to other people about it and found out that other people, that there are definitely people who have traditions, and this is when they see their family. And much like your Thanksgiving, it's a beautiful time. But a lot of other adults who are just like totally lost any joy for it, and it's just more bleep they got to do.
Yeah,
And you know, so much stress, so much keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. That it caused me to I wrote this thing called Adult Santa about, you know, what adults need most. And it was just really looking into like the total, what is the theme of it? What is the heart of this? Where does this come from? What is it now? Well, you know, regardless of where it came from, what has been adopted and adapted to the present day? And for me, it really was like, this is about the heart of like, it's involved with Christianity as well, but even pre-Christian, of the idea of during the darkest time of year, when things are thinnest, where maybe hope is thinnest, that you would save aside enough food to have a feast and have a light in the darkness, a moment of light during the darkest night. That has meant everything for me. And Sarah and I always make a point now on Christmas Eve in particular of having our adult Santa moment, which is like, we need to turn off all the other lights, look at the holiday lights, have like a sip of nice scotch and just sort of appreciate that feeling of warmth of like one light in the dark. And like, that's it. That's Christmas Eve for me. And that's what I'm always after.
See, that's beautiful. That's great. I'm going to take some notes.
So yeah, Christmas Eve for me. I think we both have one more. Are we doing three? Yeah, we were asked for three. Are you done? You're like, that's
I don't got any more. Like I used to like Labor Day was for me a big church picnic in the park, and school started the next day. And like that's not the case anymore. Like that's Easter for religious reasons was celebrated a lot in my house, but I'm not commenting on any of those reasons. But other than that, like it wasn't a thing for me. And I don't like painting eggs, you know, again, all this makes me sound really grumpy, Joseph. Like I'm not, I mean, I'm grumpy, but I'm like, it's just too easy. Like I love hearing you talk about Christmas Eve, because I always felt bad for the families that celebrated more on Christmas Eve and not Christmas morning. But then I heard some wonderful tales, including yours just now, about why it was valuable, personally valuable. So, I don't mean to draw a blank. I mean, I'd have to really dig deep, unless you count birthdays. That's not a national holiday. And even then, some years I celebrate in grand fashion. Other years, you don't even know I have one. So it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of people struggle with. So totally understandable. My final one, I think I know some of your thoughts on this. My final one would also slot second after Halloween is New Year's Eve. That is another holiday that I think.
Sorry.
You forgot it was a holiday, right?
It's a choice. I was going to answer Boxing Day for all my UK friends or Magical Mystery Tour friends. I totally forgot about this.
Was so clearly not high up there for you. So, I mean, the joke that I've made for this one is it's the holiday where we wear hats and yell at time. What's not to like? I mean, but I think that's a part of it. Along with Halloween, New Year's Eve is really, it's party focused. It's fun. But it has this very important subtext of being mindful of our shared journey of, you know, you can get into, you know, obvious jokes about human nature of how quickly our resolutions fade away. But the idea that we still do have a celebration to mark, like here's this discrete period of time and we can look back on it and look back at where the world was and look back on where we were. And then we can look forward to hope with hope in this sense of regeneration of, but there's always more time and maybe we can make different choices. That combined with we get to put on hats and yell at time.
Yeah.
It's a party with depth is New Year's Eve for me.
I guess there's 4th of July. Oh, so now I'm starting to remember other holidays. I actually agree with you a lot about New Year's. I don't go out as much anymore. I quite frankly don't want to go out a lot of amateur hour on the roads out there. You got to be careful. Yeah. But I am a sucker for the sentimentality of the feeling behind it. Everything you're saying is important to me, actually. Yes, it's kind of weird and arbitrary. We just have these calendars and we flip the pages and, you know, Joseph's got a new, sloth picture to celebrate. And there we go. A month has passed. But I really think there's great meaning behind it. And it's what we have. And yeah, I'm with you. Actually, I don't like making the hacky jokes about resolutions fading away, because it's an honest effort to try something new or to try to move forward and try to better yourself. I like goals over the word resolution, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that to go, this is a changing of the time, a change in the season. I think it's actually important. And I think, so therefore, I think I'll slip that into my list as well. It's not so much the champagne and the parties. I do love it. Big fan of, you know, the movie When Harry Met Sally, which has a big New Year's climax. So great. Love all that. But I love what you're talking about. I will sit and watch the ball drop because I'm like, what did we do this year? What did we lose this year? What did we gain? I'll get into that. I'll lose myself in that.
Yeah, no, it's great fun. I think for me, it helps that for many, many years I did a show and it was just always so fun and so festive in such a great way to ring in the new year. And have a lot of, you know, traditions that I enjoy with Sarah, too. So there we go. That's our thematic look at holidays. The ones we remember.
Yeah.
The ones we've forgotten. We pretty much talked about every major holiday, but 4th of July. And you gave a shout out to Easter. So I think we've covered it. I think we're good to take a break.
And 4th of July. There you go. And I'll go out and yell at you for lighting them fireworks. So I'm grumpy. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on Questions of the Outlaw.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, we're back. Episode 600 of the main show on this podcast feed. 4Center presents Other Center. Your guys' questions have been fueling this series here. Oh, I love doing it. And Joseph, we've got a small question coming our way now.
That is right. We have always such a great collection of questions that take us in different directions. We've talked cheese. We've shifted gears a little bit to a deeper topic of holidays. And now we have perhaps the question. This comes to us from Victor Lopez de los Moses Gomez, who says, "My question is simple. What's the purpose of life? Thanks." To be very clear, that's Victor's thanks with a nice exclamation point, which is just such a positive way to ask a question. Thanks. I'll take my answer off air. What's the point of life? Thanks. Or I guess rather the purpose, which is different than the point, perhaps. We'll find out. All right, Ken, where do you want to start with the purpose of life?
I did make more notes and put more thoughts into the cheese answer. But because I could make a joke about, well, we don't really know and this and that. And sometimes I think it's just surviving, but sometimes I do think it is about, just every day finding how you can make yourself happy and those around you and just building it step by step. We all don't understand it. We all don't know why. And I've dealt with the big depressions in life and those big moments where I didn't know if I wanted to continue or didn't know if I could continue. And then I always think of my old boss who every day would show up at work and just be like, you know, how you doing? And I'd be like, how you doing, Mike? He's like, I am above ground. That means it's a good day. Let's go get some coffee. I got your coffee, dude. And we go get some coffee and start our work day together. And every day. And he was hiding a lot of things that were going on in his life, you know? And I thought that's a good way to approach it. So there's big things and legacy. Legacy's big and change. And how do you want to leave the world? Got an argument with my mom recently where I was just like, how do you not want to address some of the big issues in life and leave this place better? And she just said, I just want you to be happy. I'm like, but I'll be burning up in a drowning California. Don't you want to help at all? Like, so there's that kind of stuff. And you and I can continue to discuss that here. But I do think actually this question is simple, Victor. Just try to live each day as you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it is one of those questions that's so big and so complicated, you almost have to come back to the thesis statement. You can have some supporting arguments for your thesis statement, but what's the thesis statement?
Yeah.
I think, you know, the purpose of life for me, you know, it gets into like, how do you lead a good life? Mm-hmm. Maybe even somewhere in here, how you have a happy life. But for me, like, what's the purpose? Mm-hmm. I will never cease being fascinated that we are creatures who want to have a purpose and want to know a purpose. And I fully understand and respect that many people find the answer to this question in religion and different forms of belief. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like I don't know why we are here. Mm-hmm. And that in of itself is the beginning of like, well, if we don't know, then we better, mm-hmm. We better find one out or make one, is the point. I think a lot of great comedy and art comes from that essential human confusion. And again, with all the respect to people who feel like I got an answer to this, that the we were born to wonder why we're here and we don't maybe know. And there's some things that we don't have answers for. I think that's a lot of what, you know, art and comedy are wrestling with of trying to figure out, you know, why we are made the way we are made. So maybe one answer to this for me is the purpose of life is to wrestle with and make a purpose of life.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great point. I absolutely really like that. It's not just, you know, bumper sticker self-help here, but, you know, what are you going to do with what you got? And there's different levels of experiences, perspectives, and privileges and places in life. But sometimes even, you know, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs, you're going to find yourself in good spots and bad spots. But yeah. That's a little bit of what my boss would instill is we're going to make this day good. And that's part of the purpose in finding it. And whether it's art or just business or being kind to a stranger, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's a big, you're right. This is a big giant question, but what's the purpose? Make a purpose. That's a great way to look at it.
I think this kind of dovetails with, you know, some issues of storytelling is mm-hmm. Hey, I like it sometimes when a story is happily ever after. This story is the chapter of in this character's life where they faced the worst challenge they have to face. And in comparison, everything after that is, you know, not as interesting of a story. Mm. But the prevalence of the idea of happy ever after, I think, has left a lot of people thinking that they need to kind of have something figured out and then everything's good, you know?
Solved, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you got a career goal or a relationship goal or a financial goal when I have this, I'll just be happy, you know? And you see a lot of people on social media, I think, making really good jokes that are sharing the human condition of like, mm-hmm. you know, when this TV show comes back, mm-hmm. I'll have what I need. Like, so I think, I really like what you're saying about your boss, because I think, for me, it's important to have an awareness of challenges go on. And even if you kind of have, if you could make a list one year of, I want to accomplish these five things and you accomplish them, it isn't
fade out and everything's fine, it's life is still life and there's still ups and downs. Yeah. There's still good days and bad days. So I think for me, a part of the purpose of life is like approaching it that way. It's so hard to do because I still get trapped in that. Well, if I had X, then everything would be great. You know, if I had that house on the hill, everything would be great. If I had this career thing I wanted, everything would be great. You know, and there's no just great. That's part of the human condition. There's always ups and downs.
There's only one finish line that we all cross, right? Eventually. we're all guilty of that without a doubt, but if I just have this, especially when it comes to my career, you know, if I just had this one piece of tech, I would have 200,000 downloads. You know, like, and it's like, no, you have to wake up every day, decide that you're going to work at it or decide you're going to do this or know a little bit luck. And sometimes I have those conversations with friends of why is it always going to be hard? Because it's always hard. That's the thing. That's the rub. It's always hard. And you just got to find your way through it to find the purpose in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I don't want to come off as self-help gurus of here's the mastery. I said on the episode recorded earlier today, because we're recording this on Monday, I've had a really rough week. Mm-hmm. And I try to accept that as let myself feel sad, let myself gnash my teeth and be angry and bitter and know that I'll come out of it. And it's, you know, you have ups and downs, but it's been making me think of like, okay, you're in a dark mood. Why and what can you do to help yourself? So I'm not in any way saying these are the magic solutions. These are what I try to do. And sometimes succeed and often fail. But I find for myself that there's a balance between having a purpose, here's the purpose in life and I figured it out, but like a thing you want and you're working on, whether it's something really small, like I want to clear out this room and redecorate it in my apartment, or I want to get a new apartment, or I really want to be in a relationship, or, I really want to sell a screenplay, or like whatever it is, a thing that you're working toward that can give you a sense of purpose and a sense of accomplishment. I think I need that thing that drives me forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also need to do almost the opposite of that, of the moments where I just look around and appreciate whatever it is that I have.
Yes.
You know, and often that's, you know, sometimes I'm lucky and that's a cool vacation, but often that's just like, I really like that tree that I pass on my walk. Boy, did that one specific guitar chord in that one song, I like that. Even if I'm having the worst day ever, it gives me a little burst of joy to hear that guitar chord. Mm-hmm. You know, a mural you pass on your way to work. You know, for me, of frozen pizza. Just those little things you know, you don't have to super strive and fight for. You're not going to put them on your tombstone as an accomplishment of, I ate, you know, probably by the time I'm dead, 20 million frozen pizzas. I could put that on my tombstone. I don't know if that's an accomplishment I'm proud of, but every time I have a frozen pizza, it's a little moment of joy, a little balm on the wounds of life. And I sometimes push back when people are like, you actually have a lot of good things, just enjoy it. Because I don't think it's just that. I think it's that and acknowledging what's missing, what's causing harm, what's broken, and trying to enjoy that and try to fix those. And the enjoy it. I think sometimes the just enjoy yourself, you're alive and there are trees, can be sort of placating and head patting and not acknowledging problems that need to be addressed. But I also think that's something that I've been trying to really work on, of like, what are all the things around me that give me joy? And, you know, if you don't know if you don't have a personal answer for the purpose of life, enjoying yourself is a pretty damn good one.
Pretty good one. Yeah. Pretty good. No, I love what you're saying here. And I get where you're coming at. It's like having the goals, having the creative goals, but we are not our things, right? We are not the things that we're seeking. We are not the things that we're doing. That is not who we are. That doesn't define us. So you have to be careful with that. Cause it's a great positive thing, right? Like I can say, you know, I'm a relatively respected, successful Star Wars podcaster. I do comedy. Those are things that are me and make me. But you know what? I've also, been other things that aren't as glamorous. So either direction doesn't define who I am and how I approach life. But it's good to have the things driving forward. But I'm with you. There's the balance. Having a piece of cheddar cheese or a treat you like. And I'm big on... I think trying to acknowledge everyone, you know, that there might be bigger problems in the world there, and that it could be worse. And those are all truths. And that's why you got to have empathy and compassion to connect with the larger issues or with people outside of you. That's actually one bit of advice I do think my mom did tell me a long time ago that was good, was, you know, depression, which I suffer a lot, is just, and there's a lot of reasons and chemical reasons you have it in your brain, mm-hmm. and it's a disease. And I don't want to ever, I've always go out of my way to say, I want to make sure people know I understand that there's no easy fix, but it's an egocentric thing. It's an egocentric disease because you're only thinking inward. And it just, my mom would be like, I'm not, to go volunteer with some puppies or something, go help some, it's not going to cure it. You're not fixed. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, you weren't thinking about yourself, and that seems so easy. But the flip side of that is we do have a tendency to, I think it's along the lines of what you're saying, of it could be worse is a truth, but man, that causes you to not deal with what you are experiencing, or to even acknowledge that, you know, maybe you're down today because a career goal didn't happen. That's real. And if you don't mm-hmm. deal with it, it's going to be faster to something worse. So it, you and I talk often about the actual toxic positivity is things like that. Is it could be worse. Chippy, yippy, yippy. You're like, well, but also you're on fire. So
yeah, but just smile. A smile will put
yeah.
it out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no clear cut answer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you've touched on this in lots of different ways, talking about maybe environmental stuff that we should care about. But I also just think that there's one potential purpose of life for me is find a balance between caring for others and caring for yourself.
Yeah, big.
Because I think that, you know, we often don't care enough about others, especially when the others are theoretical because they aren't physically, literally in our lives. You know, having enough empathy to, you know, to have empathy for physically people in your lives, but also to have empathy for people that maybe you haven't met, but they are going through a trauma and wanting things to be better for everyone. But I also do find that some belief systems sort of have a focus that is sort of self-denying. And I kind of think that, you know, we all deserve to be happy and we should be as happy as we can up to the point that it's hurting others, and we shouldn't be so obsessed with our own happiness that we don't have empathy for other people. So that's something I've tried to think about, of like, what, you know, not if I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to be on my deathbed. If I'm lucky enough to literally just be laying there thinking about my life, I think one of the things I would think back on is like, did I find a good balance of enjoying life for myself and trying to help or care for or support other people too.
Yeah, I agree with that. All easy, all simple.
Real easy to do.
Real easy to do.
Yeah, I'm going to do it 3 times today.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
No problem. No stress. No ambiguity. Easy, easy, easy.
There you go. That's the purpose.
All right. Any other thoughts on the purpose of life or cheese?
I'm going to have some cheese later today to help me get through my day to discover the purpose. It's all connected.
Yep. I don't know if I'm going to be able to take any of my own philosophical thoughts to heart today, but I am going to eat some damn cheese for sure. Yeah. So this episode has been very inspiring on multiple levels.
Yes, indeed. And that's the thing too. You're not going to get it right every day. And all you can do is look to the next day.
No. And thanks again for everyone who has been, speaking of caring for others, it has made a huge difference, the amount of support that people have had for this Other Center adventure, particularly when people have really been kind to listen to the story of why we're doing this and understand not just sort of like the rules from SAG-AFTRA, but how they affect us, and have continued to support us and ask us really fun wide variety of questions, and we look forward to continuing to take questions of the other. That is it. Ken, you want to take us home?
I do want to take us home. You can follow us on Twitter or Threads at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube live stream if you're listening here tomorrow, Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific. Check it out. If you miss it, though, you can watch it there on the YouTube channel, Instagram as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can follow us and listen to us on places like iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. You can follow me at KedNabsuck or go to KedNabsuck.com for more information on comedy dates, stuff like that. I do announce, actually, it's funny, by the time this is out, I officially announced that my first comedy album, a little short EP, a comedy EP that was very much in the Force Center world. We recorded it live in London, releasing my portion of the show called In My Day, available on a lot of different spots. The announcements are out there now, and check out my YouTube channel for more content over there. Yes, I said content. I'm okay with the word. I get that art and content are different, but I'm putting a lot of stuff out there on the YouTube channel as well. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. Blue Sky in particular seems to be taking off, and I'm having some fun over there. So if you want to find me on Blue Sky, please do. I hope that continues to open up. I hope lots of invite codes are just flowing everywhere, and people can get on Blue Sky. My comedy albums are on Bandcamp. There are also links on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. I need some more money for my production company to submit to more film festivals. So if you've ever been curious about my comedy, this would be a great time to check it out, because it would help me pay for more places to submit the short films I've been working on. That is it for me, Ken.
That is it for him. That is it for me. And don't forget to check out Jennifer Landa's stuff as well. She's got some cool stuff on TikTok and Reels. It's all there. Hey, we'll see you next time. You all go find the purpose of life. All right? Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.